I'm not leaving. Based on what?
I would ask you all to...
Why are you not issuing marriage licenses today?
Because I'm not.
Under whose authority are you not issuing marriage licenses?
Under God's authority.
We will never accept homosexual marriage. I don't care what Supreme Court justice says what.
People who refuse to do the jobs that they were hired to do shouldn't be allowed to keep those jobs.
In the most extreme case, he could order her jailed.
Hey, hey, oh, ho, Karen Davis has got to go, hey, hey.
Christianity is not something that we do. It's who we are. We can't go against who we are.
Most importantly, God will never accept same-sex marriage.
I just want you all to know that we are not issuing marriage licenses today.
Why?
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, sitting in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for listening. Today, Federal District Judge David Bunning held Kim Davis, a clerk in Rowan County, Kentucky, in contempt of court. Now, Davis claimed that issuing the licenses would violate her First Amendment right to religious liberty, but the Supreme Court declined to rule on her appeal. So, Davis took a public stand against the law.
I just want you all to know that we are not issuing marriage licenses today.
Why?
Pending.
In contempt of court.
What appeal is left?
Pending the appeal in the Sixth
denied.
Circuit.
The
What's
appeal
the stay has denied. Been denied.
Mm-hmm. Right. The injunction is the order that you're supposed to issue marriage licenses.
And we're not issuing marriage licenses today.
The Supreme Court denied your stay.
We are not issuing marriage licenses today.
Now, Kim Davis is not the only one invoking religious freedom in a fight against laws they don't like. And we've also been hearing a lot from you. On Facebook, there is a lively debate underway. Kyle writes, she should be allowed to deny the licenses, but she should be ready for some consequences. And maybe Kentucky should set up some sort of alternative licensing procedures to serve the public while she's taking her stand.
Hi, my name is Jessica, and I'm in San Jose, California. I'm an attorney, and I oppose the death penalty for religious and ethical reasons. I wouldn't pursue a job as a district attorney in a state that has the death penalty because doing my government job might force me to violate my beliefs. And I really don't think that the situation is any different.
The Kentucky case of one clerk and her position on same-sex marriage is one glimpse into a wider legal war. All over the country, religious organizations, businesses, hospitals, churches, and religious individuals are claiming that laws from the same-sex marriage ruling to the Affordable Care Act violate their religious freedom. And the Supreme Court justices themselves are warning these cases aren't going away. So we're going to take a look now at Kim Davis, where her religious stand against same-sex marriage might go, and also at the coming wave of religious objections. Are religious people a new oppressed minority in America? Sam Markison is a constitutional law professor at the University of Louisville Brandeis School of Law in Kentucky. He says that Davis was acting in the capacity of the state, but demanding the rights of an individual.
She stands in the posture of the state itself as the elected official who is preventing any licenses from being issued. When that's the demand she's making as a result of her conscience, there really is no possibility for accommodation. She speaks for and stands in for the state. And the state itself has no religious freedom rights. It's individuals who have religious freedom rights. And if in her personal life, in her individual capacity, she wants to have her religious beliefs, stand up for those beliefs, express them, she's perfectly entitled to do that and has every First Amendment right to do that, but not when she is in the official capacity as the state. That's where the line has to be drawn. Otherwise, we have a theocracy. And when the state starts to impose its religious beliefs to the detriment of individual citizens or here couples seeking to get married, whether they be same-sex or different sex, that's where the rule of law breaks down. And that is not a First Amendment right that anyone enjoys to break down the rule of law.
Now, the Supreme Court itself refused to hear a case from Kim Davis saying she has this religious right that we're talking about. But, Professor, you and I both know that there are cases popping up all over the country in a much broader context claiming First Amendment religious freedom, not only in the context of same-sex marriage, but also Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, contraception, and a lot of different areas. In the area of same-sex marriage, Michigan now has a law allowing adoption agencies to refuse to place children with legally married same-sex couples if there's a religious objection. There are cases of churches, hospitals, businesses all over the place that all point to a road leading to a bunch of cases coming toward the Supreme Court about religious objections to these laws. Let's take same-sex marriage. Where do those cases stand, and what's in the future here?
Well, in the future, you have hard cases and easy cases, as is most of the time the case with the law. Easy cases are at both extremes. Kim Davis, frankly, is an easy case. It's why she's lost at every level. At the other extreme, there are easy cases for giving exemptions, ministers and churches who don't want to perform same-sex weddings because those are against the faith of that church, because that's at the very core of what the First Amendment is all about. No one, since same-sex marriages have first been recognized in the United States and Massachusetts, has ever tried to compel a church to perform a wedding that is against the tenets of that faith. So that's an easy case for giving the exemption. The hard cases are in the middle, where you have private people, but maybe in the commercial sphere, who want religious exemptions. And those hard cases are the ones we're going to have to work out as a democratic society that makes these calls through our legislatures, through our city councils, and talking to each other about where the line should be drawn. Because, frankly, religious freedom is a value, is a civic virtue. We believe it in this country, but so too is non-discrimination. And if we're trying to balance those, the right of people not to be discriminated against, to be able to enjoy the right to go to a baker, to go to a wedding planner, etc., but also the right of people to have their religious virtues, we can balance these rights in a way that seeks to give everyone the fullest possible measure of the rights balanced against each other. And so these are difficult questions, but not impossible ones to work out if we work them out between us as a civil society. Not when government's involved, not when it's a government official seeking an exemption. That's why the Kim Davis case is ultimately controversial, but not a hard case for the law.
There is also a confluence of politics and legal rulings that seem to be coming here. Politicians, especially on the right, are pushing the idea to very great effect now that religious freedom is under threat, a kind of new aggrieved minority. Now, at the same time, Chief Justice John Roberts himself wrote that there is little doubt that cases like this, maybe not Kim Davis, but other cases of private citizens seeking accommodations to same-sex marriage based on First Amendment religious minority claims. He said there's no question that similar questions like that will soon be before the court. This fight is ahead of us.
Of course this fight is ahead of us. There will be couples, and there have been in cases in Oregon and Colorado, where same-sex couples seek the services of people in the public square who offer their services, whether they be wedding planners or photographers, etc. And our basic law in this country is that if you put yourself out into the commercial marketplace, you don't discriminate. If there is a law in that state that bars sexual orientation discrimination, that should be, in my view, the basic rule. You don't discriminate if you're in the commercial sphere. But that requires us to have a national law that bars discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. We don't yet have that law. And so on the national scale, that conversation, those conflicts are still ahead of us. They don't exist today because of the lack of that non-discrimination law.
This might be a political question for a legal guy, Professor Markison, but one of the criticisms of the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision was that the court passed down a decision on the public and on the culture that wasn't settled politically. All of a sudden, abortion had to be legal in all states. It was included in a woman's right to privacy. I'm sort of distilling that decision. What that helped launch was a cultural divide that has led to a political war that we're all familiar with. Major right-to-life movement versus pro-choice movement that has divided the culture and the politics for all of the years since that decision. There have been warnings that the Obergefell decision has done much the same thing, that arguments over religious liberty and an aggrieved minority are going to plague this country for the next 50 years because it cuts almost the exact same way as Roe did.
I just don't think that's true. I think the every indication is that the society is moving, especially if you look at polls of people under the age of 30, under the age of 40, decisively in favor of equal rights for same-sex couples, that there isn't this same cultural divide you've seen over the abortion issue. Moreover, the court's job ultimately is not to look at public opinion polls and concern itself with whether there will be that kind of a public backlash. Certainly the court may and the individual justices may have regrets over something like that, but their job is to protect individual rights under the Constitution, including the right to equality. And if an aggrieved minority is being treated unequally, and that ends up being something that a group in society or even a majority in society has difficulty with adjusting to or accepting, that has to be something the court ultimately accepts as part of its brief, as part of its mission statement to deal with those concerns, and nevertheless hand down a decision like Obergefell.
Sam Markison is a constitutional law professor at the University of Louisville in Kentucky. Thank you so much, Professor.
Happy to be with you, Todd.
So we're asking you where you stand. Should Kentucky Clerk Kim Davis be allowed to deny marriage licenses because of her religious beliefs? On our Facebook thread, hundreds of you have been weighing in on our Facebook page. Al Sullivan writes, defying courts for a higher moral position is a tradition in America, but it's also troubling since we have business owners who also do not want to serve gays. History shows us that after similar rulings giving African Americans their rights, racists did similar things. Ultimately, they were forced by the weight of the law to obey.
I'm Robert from Allen. I wonder if those supporting Kim Davis's objections to gay marriage and issuing license would support her if she said she was a devout Muslim and denied marriage license to gay because of the practice of Sharia law.
This is Dan Ruiz. I'm calling from Wheatley Heights, New York. And she should be held in contempt of court and fined heavily or go to jail for breaking the law like any other American would.
This is Susan Wansbrough from Dallas, Texas. Would the people who are supporting her now still support Ms. Davis if she were Quaker and refused to issue concealed handgun permits because it violated her religious beliefs? I think not.